tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 26th of May, 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I guess you could say this is a little bit late because this did actually happen last week. There's been lots of talk about it, and I haven't mentioned it yet, and I think I should mention it. And this is about this stabbing of the young lad called Henry Novak, who was stabbed by a Sikh multiple times. The police were called, and when the police got there, the Sikh accused the young boy of being racist towards him, and instead of performing immediate emergency medical care, the police handcuffed the boy, and it's all on video, and the boy can be heard saying he can't breathe, and the boy just bled to death. And it then turned out that this Sikh who said that he hadn't stabbed him, he had stabbed him multiple times. His mother had tried to hide the knife. There was bits of it on video. He had the victim's phone in his pocket. It's a particularly horrendous story, which is quite emotive. I know that it gets a lot of people upset and angry about this. But it's not that out of the ordinary, really, is it? I mean, it only happened a month or so back in America. There was a young lad and he was stabbed, and the police got there and the stabber said, well, he was racist towards me. He said the N-word, and the judge ended up letting the stabber off. He didn't get any punishment, I believe, or he certainly didn't get a prison sentence, because it was accepted that because the white victim used a racial slur, it was accepted that it's okay to stab someone if they use a racial slur. Is effectively what the what that trial was effectively telling us. So now a month later, we have a young lad stabbed to death, and the police arrive, and instead of going after the person who had done the stabbing, they handcuff the victim, because apparently he had been racist towards this Sikh. Now, there is a vigil or a protest, I believe, down in Southampton for the young lad. That's supposed to be happening. I haven't got the exact dates of it. I will put them in the description for the podcast. That's if the vigil hasn't already happened. As I say, it's quite emotive. It tends to make people to be angry against Sikhs. But really, you have to look at why did the Sikh have a knife on him in the first place? Well, that was because our government said that Sikhs can be allowed to carry knives because it's part of their religion. Why was this Sikh in the country in the first place? Well, it's because our government opened up the borders to Sikhs and anybody else who wanted to come here. So although the fault for this does lie individually with the Sikh that carried this out, it also lies with our government, and probably even more so with the government, because it's also because of government initiatives, and particularly the College of Policing directives to the police, that was responsible for him, the police officer, thinking that it was a far more serious offence to be accused of racism than to be accused of stabbing somebody. I mean, that's what it boils down to. And if there is an investigation of these police, I think they'll probably find out that, well, he was just obeying his directives. He was just obeying his orders. He'd been told that this person had used a racial slur or was being racist towards this Sikh person. And he would have been taught in his police training that this is absolutely terrible, the worst of all crimes. And it could lead to dehumanizing a victim. It can lead to violence against the victim. That, you know, they have to go on all these diversity courses, diversity training. It's more important to arrest people for social media posts than anything else. We need to let out the prisoners, the violent prisoners from prison, so that we can make room to put prisoners in there for social media posts. And here you have not just a social media post, but somebody literally opening their mouth and saying something racial on their way home from the pub. So surely this Sikh is perfectly justified in using violence to defend himself against these horrible, hurty, mean words that this Harry Novak supposedly said. There's no evidence to show that he said anything. In fact, there's lots of evidence to show that the Sikh has not been honest. Lots of evidence to show that. And no evidence to show why this Harry Novak would be saying something racial. I mean, to me, it looks as if the lad was using his phone and the Sikh was paranoid because there had been footage taken on mobile phones of Sikhs or something similar to that. And it was a mistake, basically. He thought that the guy was videoing him to put a racist video up. So he tried to take the phone, attacked him, stabbed him. It sounds like it all followed on from that rather than this lad would have said anything racist at all. And again, what that boils down to is cultural differences and not understanding body language, and also being encouraged to see white people as racists and as a threat to Sikhs by the media, which is a media caricature. So let's have a look at exactly what did happen. And this is one of the best instances of the reporting that I've seen. It does give you a lot of details. It's actually from Breitbart. A Sikh man told a British court he stabbed a teenager to death accidentally after being racially abused and having his turban pulled off his head. Now, as I say, this turban pulling may have occurred after he stole the teenager's mobile phone, because I could see the teenager trying to get his mobile phone back, effectively. Southampton Crown Court has continued to hear the case of the death of 18-year-old Anglo-Polish Henry Novak, an accountancy and finance student who, as previously reported, was handcuffed by police after they arrived on the scene of the incident and responded quickly to accusations that the knife attack victim had been racially abusive. So the police effectively believed the Sikh rather than believing the white boy. And that's because of their diversity training. They're told if somebody makes an accusation of racism, the victim is always right. I mean, you can see that from these non-crime related hate incidents, where if somebody believes that somebody said something motivated by race in any way whatsoever, the police had to record that because the person believed that they did something according to race. And if they believed that they did something for racial reasons, then they could have done that for racial reasons. If they could have done that for racial reasons, then it's a non-crime related hate incident. So they're effectively saying if somebody makes an accusation of racism, they are always right. They are always correct. And this comes from directives that were given after the Stephen Lawrence inquiry. Stephen Lawrence was a young black lad that was stabbed or murdered by alleged racists, and the police were accused of not investigating it properly, and the end result of the investigation from it was new directions that were given to the police specifically about racism, which effectively said if somebody makes an accusation of racism, you have to believe the victim. That has to be investigated, and I believe that's what happened here. Novak died at the scene in Southampton, England, on December 3rd, 2025, after being placed in cuffs. He had suffered a 3-inch deep stab wound to his chest, as well as 4 other knife wounds, which he sustained before police arrived. The chest wound cut his subclavian vein, causing blood to fill up his chest cavity, which killed him. So he was stabbed 5 times. You remember this young lad, he had no weapon on him, and yet he was stabbed 5 times by the Sikh, who legally, by British law, was entitled to carry a knife with him. I mean, the very least that should result from this is that Sikhs are banned from carrying knives. They shouldn't have an exemption. And he should be ostracized by the Sikh community for this, for preventing them from having a knife on him. I mean, when I was at Swansea Prison, HMP Swansea, we were given electric shavers. And the reason why we were all given electric shavers is because one prisoner some time ago had made a weapon up with a razor blade and had slashed one of the prison officers with the razor blade. And the end result of that wasn't that they said, oh, well, this is just one prisoner. He's just an individual on his own. It meant that no prisoners were ever allowed razor blades for shaving ever again. They all had to be given electric shavers. And the same principle should apply here. Because this Sikh used his ceremonial knife to stab someone five times and killed them, Sikhs should no longer be allowed to carry ceremonial knives. I mean, that would seem to be, you know, the first thing that's done about this. We'll have to wait and see if anything does happen about this. I mean, I haven't heard anywhere that they're calling for all Sikhs to be banned from carrying knives. 23-year-old Vikram Digwa stands accused of one count of murder and one of carrying a knife in a public place. And I guess that's because he used it for violence, because, as I say, he is entitled to carry a knife, but for religious reasons. So if he stabbed someone with it, the knife is no longer being used for religious reasons. Obviously, he used it to stab somebody. But it still means that they should ban them from carrying these knives. It also shows that it's not just a ceremonial knife. It clearly it had a sharp enough blade on it so that he could stab somebody to death with it. Digwa's mother, 53-year-old Kiran Kaur, is accused of assisting an offender over claims she removed the knife from the scene and stashed it at their family home. So the police found it covered in blood. The court heard Digwa's testimony on Wednesday, accused of an unprovoked attack against the teen, followed by denials to police and allegations of racial abuse that appear to have diverted attention away from Novak's wounds while he was handcuffed. Digwa rejected the sequence of events as earlier portrayed by the prosecution and said he had been attacked first. I mean, he also said to the police, no, this person hasn't been stabbed. I mean, there's video footage of this Digwa, his father coming out there, and the poor lad who's dying effectively on the street is saying, I've been stabbed. And Digwa's father is saying, no, you haven't been stabbed. You're just drunk. You haven't been stabbed, when he's been stabbed five times. Digwa told the jury, to me, it seemed like he was drunk, and said that Novak barged into me. I thought he had done it deliberately. See, so here's like a misunderstanding. I mean, he may have bumped into me. He may have been looking at his phone. This Novak may have been looking at his phone while he was walking along, accidentally bumped into this guy. This guy assumed that he had been filming him with the phone and attacked him effectively and tried to grab the phone out of his hands. I mean, I can see that happening. And now he's just making up this racial accusations to try and get it, try to minimize his own punishment for this. He claimed that the teen used his mobile phone to record a video, the BBC reports. The court had previously heard that Novak had been drinking alcohol that evening, but his blood alcohol level at the time of his death was low enough that he could have legally driven a car, which means that he must have had less than a pint of lager to drink that evening. Effectively, nothing, really. I mean, that would hardly affect somebody at all. So he certainly wasn't drunk, which is the accusation that this Sikh made, that he was drunk. Clearly he wasn't drunk. The defendant said he had tried to de-escalate the situation and claimed to be afraid of being attacked. He said, during these months, there has been a lot of attacks on Sikhs, and a lot of them had been videoed as well by the attackers. I thought I had to do something because I was afraid that he was going to stab me with my own knife. Digwa said he took the phone off Novak to stop him filming. See, I think what happened was, is Novak must have bumped, looking at his phone, accidentally bumped into him, and this Digwa, on being bumped into by the guy with the phone, and he's probably correct here, let's just say that he is correct, there have been attacks on Sikhs, and they have been videoed, and he could easily have thought, this guy's attacking me, he's videoing it, he's grabbed the phone off Novak, Novak's tried to get his phone back. When he tries to get his phone back, this Digwire ends up stabbing him. And all of it is just due to a misunderstanding, the sort of misunderstanding that wouldn't happen if this Sikh was just living in an area full of Sikhs, and the sort of misunderstanding that would not happen if the white lad had just been living in an area full of white lads. If he'd bumped into somebody, he would just apologise. It's not going to end up with somebody being stabbed to death with a ceremonial knife, is it? The device, the phone, was later found by police in Digwar's pocket. And at that point, Novak started attacking him. He said, "This is when he punched me. He then pulled my turban. He pulled it off my head." Well, according to Novak, it's like he's just been attacked on the street and somebody's stolen his mobile phone. It's like he's accidentally walked into somebody. I mean, it may be that this Digwar accidentally walked into Novak and then grabs his phone off him. Of course, the guy's going to respond. He's going to try and get his phone back. He probably did pull out his turban. I mean, that's quite an obvious thing that you'll probably do instinctively if somebody with a turban on snatched your mobile phone out of your hand. I would say it's quite instinctive to try and pull the turban off just in order to get his own phone back. The defendant said his turban fell off and that his hair had been pulled. And he admitted stabbing Novak in the back of the legs. So, because his hair's been pulled, he thinks it's reasonable to pull a knife out and stab someone in the back of the legs. And pushing him away in what he claimed was self-defense. How can you say it's self-defense to use a knife against somebody who doesn't have a knife? Digwar denied stabbing Novak in the chest and said he only became aware of this during his police interview. Well, who stabbed him in the chest then? I think he just, you can believe that he just blindly lashed out, stabbing him multiple times, and one of them probably got him in the chest. If this Novak was trying to get away from him because the stabbings were in the back of the legs, Novak was trying to run away from him at that point, and he may have got him in the back of the legs with one of them, in the back of the chest with the other. But if he got him in the chest from the front side, that means that was the first time he stabbed him, was in the front. And then when Novak tried to run away, that was when he stabbed him in the legs. And I think he did this out of furiousness, hurt pride, because his turban had been pulled off. Because they take it very seriously that the hair has got to be hidden up in a turban at all times. So he would have seen that as being exceptionally insulting. And I think he acted instinctively to lash out with a knife because his pride was damaged by having his turban pulled off. After the stabbing, several members of Digwar's family, including his brother and parents, arrived on the scene. The court had earlier heard that it was Digwar's brother who called the police, that officers were not told a stabbing had taken place, but that a racist incident had taken place against local Sikhs. The court had heard a recording of the emergency call in which the brother told officers, "We just been attacked by someone racially." I think they thought straight away. I think they must have thought, well, this guy's been stabbed. We've got to get the police here. We've got to come up with a story to excuse it. The guy pulled your turban off. That's a racist incident. It must have been racially motivated, or we can say that it's racially motivated. And then it will be mitigating circumstances that you stabbed the guy. In his phone call, he said, "We just got attacked racially by some white person, physically attacked my brother. We are Sikhs, we wear turbans, and he attacked my brother." In another video shown to the jury, Digwar and his brother are heard accusing Novak of racism, and Novak in turn denies this. So he denies it. So they're accusing him of being racist, and he's saying, "I'm not racist at all." It's not like he said a racist slur or anything. I think what they mean by he's being racist is that the guy tried to pull the Sikh's turban off because he saw that might be a way of getting his phone back. He would have done that instinctively as well. Novak says he has been stabbed, to which Digwar replies, "No one stabbed you, bro. You're drunk." Digwar's father was recorded saying at the scene, "He's pretending to have been stabbed," while Novak lay on the floor dying. So these Sikhs were effectively told the police to ignore him and that he hadn't been stabbed, that he's just pretending. And they knew full well that he had been stabbed because the mother had taken the knife to hide the knife. So this whole family knew that their son had just stabbed this young boy, and they all basically lied to the police about it. I don't see why it's just the mother that is being prosecuted for perverting the course of the law, when also the father here is clearly lying when he says he's pretending and that he hadn't actually been stabbed and that he's just pretending. Because surely the father must have known he's been stabbed if the mother did and took the knife away. So why is it only her that is being prosecuted? The knife, which was forensically linked to the death of Novak by investigators, was found at Digvar's home. It is claimed that his mother took it there, for which she has been charged with one count of assisting an offender. As I say, why hasn't the father been accused of that as well, for lying to the police and saying that the victim had not been stabbed? On Wednesday, Digvar denied that this had been deliberate and that his mother had only held up the Sikh ceremonial knife for a moment while he picked up his religious items from the ground that had fallen during the incident. Well, why did she hide it in the house then? The local Southampton newspaper, the Daily Echo, reports that the court heard covert recordings of a conversation between Digvar and his brother while Digvar was in custody. During the conversation, the men discussed the alleged murder, and the brother can be heard saying, "You should say it was self-defense." Digvar said in turn, "I am a fool, an idiot." Well, I mean, I think it's quite clear that they're trying to say that it's self-defense and mitigating circumstances, because he pulled the guy's turban off, and this was his response to it. But the reason why he pulled the turban off is because the Sikh stole his mobile phone. A paper further reported that in earlier hearings, the Crown Court was shown footage from police-worn body cameras of the moments when officers arrived on the scene for the first time. The video showed Novak being held up against the wall of a house by Digvar's father, while Novak says, "I can't breathe." And that's very interesting, the fact that he's saying, "I can't breathe," because, of course, that brings up parallels of George Floyd, in the middle of a fentanyl overdose, being restrained by the police, saying, "I can't breathe," when he had deliberately got out of the police car himself, lay on the ground himself, and was saying, "I can't breathe," basically because he was having a fentanyl overdose. And the police were prosecuted for this, and there was massive riots costing millions and millions of dollars in insurance money in America. And there were protests and lynching of statues in Britain because of this. And it was the same catchphrase, effectively, "I can't breathe." And now you have a white lad bleeds to death whilst after being arrested by the police when he's just been stabbed by a Sikh. And he's saying, "I can't breathe." And it, again, it's because of the police reacting in a wrong way that he's no longer with us, that he's dead. I mean, the police should have carried out emergency medical care. They shouldn't have arrested him. They shouldn't have put him in handcuffs and arrested him. When he said, "I've been stabbed," they should have looked at him and investigated to see whether he had been stabbed. Instead, they just listened to the Sikh, because they've been told that if someone makes an accusation of racism, then they are a victim of racism. Victims of racism have to be listened to, and racism has to be investigated. So they're told to literally put that right at the very top of the list of important offences. Racism is supposed to be the worst thing. And I think that goes back to the Stephen Lawrence inquiry and the results of that, which were these non-crime-related hate incidents and these new directions to the police on racism, effectively. A police officer then tells Novak, who by this point is lying on his side on the ground, and remember, he's saying, I can't breathe, I've been stabbed. The police officer then tells Novak that he is under arrest on suspicion of assault. Novak again at this point replies that he's been stabbed, to which an unseen male replies, "I don't think you have, mate." So that's clearly the father or the Sikh himself. He should also be arrested for assisting an offender here. And Elon Musk has said that he's going to fund a court case against the police that did this. I hope that he does. But I think they will just find that he was just following orders, and that the police are told to prioritise racism. If somebody says they're a victim of racism, they're supposed to prioritise that. And I think the police also looked at it and they thought, well, you've got three people here saying this person wasn't stabbed and that he was being racist. So I have to listen to the three people because you've got three eyewitnesses there saying the same thing. And then you've got one eyewitness saying the other. And it was the three eyewitnesses that phoned the police. Bear that in mind as well. It was the Sikh family that phoned the police claiming to be victims. And then when the police got there, these three people all said this was a racist incident. And then you've got the white lad on the floor dying, effectively. But that's only one person saying it wasn't a racist incident and I was stabbed. So the police should have investigated him to see that he was stabbed. But I think any investigation will say that, you know, they listened to the most eyewitnesses. And the fact is, all of those eyewitnesses were lying. So they should be prosecuted as being accomplice to murder, effectively. I mean, there is a term, it's called joint responsibility or something like that. And where somebody is murdered, and it was brought in for these gangs in London. And what was happening is there would be like half a dozen of them that would be involved in going after somebody and the person would end up dying. And only the person that actually carried out the final blow was being prosecuted for this. So they brought in this joint responsibility, joint enterprise, I think it's called, joint enterprise. And it has effectively meant that if a murder takes place, the other people that were around can also be prosecuted. So, for instance, if somebody's going to carry out a murder and they call for a taxi, they get in the taxi driver takes them to where they're going, they stab the person, jump back in the taxi, that taxi driver can then be prosecuted as well for joint enterprise. And when I was in prison, there were quite a few people in there that had been prosecuted under this joint enterprise. There was one lad and he was clearly brain damaged. It wouldn't hurt a fly. He'd been run into by a car twice, really, really brain damaged. Yet under this joint enterprise law, he was prosecuted for manslaughter. And he was back in home in bed at the time that this murder happened. Yeah, he was prosecuted under this joint enterprise law. So if they can prosecute people like that, why isn't the rest of this Sikh family being prosecuted for joint enterprise? Because they helped him to do this. They helped to allow this murder to happen by falsely representing it to the police, by falsely representing to the police that he hadn't actually been stabbed when he had been. So why aren't they being prosecuted for joint enterprise manslaughter? And also, why is it a manslaughter trial anyway? Why isn't it a murder trial? If somebody stabs somebody in the chest, quite clearly, they are intending to murder them. And he stabbed him in the chest from the front, clearly. And then when the lad turned around and ran, he stabbed him another four times in the back of his legs. So he can hardly say it's self-defense when he was stabbing him in the back of the legs, can he? I mean, this is a horrendous case. And it is getting a lot of attention, but not mainstream media attention. It's getting attention in the alternative media. I think Mark Collette's written about it and talked about it. I'm getting this article here from Breitbart. I think it might have been mentioned in GB News, but I'm not seeing it on the mainstream news at all. It's just not being mentioned. And it should be mentioned. I mean, it should be paralleled with George Floyd when they found him as having been killed by the police and they prosecuted the police for deliberately killing him. I mean, there should be something about this, shouldn't they? White lives matter. White lives do matter, but they don't really seem to matter to the police. Certainly not if somebody says, well, that white person there was racist. Then you don't even have to look them over to see whether they've been stabbed or not because they've been accused of racism. As I say, in America, you had this case where a white lad was stabbed and the person who did the stabbing said, oh, well, he said the N-word. And the person who did the stabbing was let off. They said that he was incited. I should imagine they're sort of implying that he was incited to violence because he overheard this person using the N-word. This is the problem that we have by making certain words illegal to use, and incitement to hate. If you're going to say that using a word itself is carrying out a crime, and the public are expected to prevent crimes, In fact, the public are expected to put people under a citizen's arrest if they can, to assist the police. That's in Britain, at least. Then you're effectively saying that people are entitled to use violence against somebody that says one of these words that you're not supposed to say. Which, looking at that, I mean, my way of looking at that would be, well, it's the person that's carrying out the violent attack that is the one that's committing the crime, not the person that used an out-of-date word for a racial minority. Surely the person that's at fault here is the one that carries out the violent attack in response to it. And that's exactly what we have here. He's saying, what he hasn't actually said that he, what racist words supposedly this young lad said, but they said, oh, it was a racist attack. He knocked his turban off, as if this young lad who had less than a pint to drink and was an academic was just walking home and just thought, I know, I'll knock this Sikh's turban off for a joke, as if that would happen. Or, I know, I'll be racist to the Sikh and push his turban off and film him. And it happened the other way around, didn't it? This Sikh took the phone off the lad first, and then the lad knocked his turban off trying to get his phone back, which, as I say, which I think was just an instant reaction, because doing that isn't really going to be likely to get your phone back, but it is the sort of reaction, instant spur-of-the-moment reaction you might make if you're walking along with your phone out and somebody grabs your phone out of your hand. I think he was just texting on his phone, not really looking where he was going. And I think this Digwa wasn't really looking where he was going and bumped into him and then just grabbed his phone off him. And this is the end result. As I say, if you had a community that was monocultural, that was just white people, this wouldn't have happened. If you had a community that was just all Sikhs in it, this wouldn't have happened, because there wouldn't be that level of mistrust where you might think that the other person wishes you harm. We have a real problem with trust in Britain because it's a multicultural community. And we know this is a fact because the investigation that was done, that was called The Downside of Diversity, the most widest ranging ever UN survey of what the results of diversity are, what the results of multiculturalism are. And it says that it reduces the level of trust. And you don't just not trust your non-white next door neighbor, you no longer trust your white neighbors either. So the whole level of trust goes down if you have a multicultural society. So then this suspicion sneaks in there, the suspicion that the white lad had that this Sikh might have been a mugger that just stole his phone from him, the suspicion that this Sikh had that this white lad was a racist and was trying to film him and attack him. Both of those suspicions would never have taken place if it wasn't for multiculturalism. And if we didn't have Sikhs in our country, this young white lad would still be alive. Why have we got Sikhs in our country? Because of our government, because of our representatives. Why is it that the police think that it's more important to investigate an accusation of racism than an accusation of being stabbed? Well, again, that lies at the fault of the government. And them telling police that they have to prioritise things like allegations of racism. Although there is individual culpability and responsibility here, I'm not saying there isn't, but in the wider scale of things, it's the state and the institutions of the state that are also responsible for this because of their migration policy, because of their policy on incitement to hate, which is effectively just using words which an ethnic minority might not like the sound of. It's the government's policy on things like that which is responsible for this. And I say, if we had a homogenous ethnic community, this young lad would still be alive. And this young Sikh lad would not have murdered anyone either. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.